You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Cheer a superstar.
And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it. You are Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ben Larson. You can find me on Twitter at Locked On Brewers, the show handle, or at Cheesehead Talks, which is the personal Twitter handle of yours truly. Also, Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers if you want to connect with us on social media. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope the Brewers had a good weekend against the Texas Rangers. Man, if they didn't, that'll be a crappy thing to say. But I don't know, because I'm not here. I'm still on vacation, taking a big, long week vacation that didn't line up with the week as much as it just is a week long. And I'll be back on Wednesday with shows to highlight and talk about the Brewers as they trudge through August here. Or maybe they're, you know, like a hot knife through butter August. I don't know. But we'll see coming up Wednesday. So we will conclude our look around the Brewers minor league system today by talking with Mike Sager of the San Antonio Missions. A great conversation with Mike. He's the play-by-play voice of the Missions. He's been with the Missions for 9 or 10 years now. And for the length of that time, they were not a Pacific Coast League team. So we'll get into that a little bit and talk about that. And also, of course, the Brewers and their prospects and what it's been like this year. Tomorrow on the show, Dr. Scott will join us once again. And again, a conversation with Dr. Scott that we had recorded earlier. So we'll talk with some analytics and dive into a couple of key things that he wanted to talk about on tomorrow's show as well. So that should be good. The new Locked On NFL is on fire. It's one of the most listened to NFL shows with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national sports podcast, or national NFL podcast, I should say, with all things NFL. With Matt's unique take on the game, follow Locked On NFL now on your favorite podcast player. So like I said, we'll talk with Mike Sager here, San Antonio Missions play-by-play voice. Now, looking at the team and the season, again, for more than 100 years, they were part of the Texas League, a double-A league, of course, in Texas. They have a type of base hit named after them. That's how great that league is, a Texas Leaguer. You've heard of that, right? The bloop single that gets off the end of the bat or down on the trademark and finds its way into the outfield. So a great league, and the Missions are part of it, and then they made the decision to turn into a triple-A franchise. And so now the Brewers have landed as their affiliate, or they're the affiliate of the Brewers. And how's that going? Both the fan reaction to AAA baseball and also playing in the Pacific Coast League, which is a little different than playing in the Texas League. So we'll talk with Mike about that, a good perspective there. Also, some of the great phenom seasons he's seen, from Keston Hira to Trent Grisham to Trey Supach, now coming up and making his first Triple-A starts as a pitcher. So we'll talk with him about those players and some of the other ones that he thinks might still be able to impact the Brewers this year. So it's a good conversation on the way. You'll want to stay tuned with Mike Sager of the San Antonio Missions. That's next. You're Locked On Brewers. Fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Lyer and Locked On Fantasy. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else, because then you'll be the same. Get the edge from Vinny. That will put you ahead on draft day, put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football on your favorite podcast player. And we are joined on Locked On Brewers by Mike Sager, the voice of the San Antonio Missions, the Brewers' AAA affiliate. First year in San Antonio for the affiliate. And Mike, I really appreciate you taking some time here to talk about what's going on down in San Antonio, because it's been kind of a busy season, but probably a fun season, given that you have the best record in the Pacific Coast League and are I'm jealous as a Brewer fan of your record as the AAA affiliate, because I really
well, it's definitely been a good year. I mean, we've had a good group of guys, and even with all the movement, I mean, the team really only has had one stretch, maybe 10 days, 2 weeks, where, you know, they kind of hit a lull. But aside from that, it's been very consistent, and, you know, we're excited, obviously, and yeah. it's been a fun year. We still got work to do, though, because we're in a tight pennant race.
Yeah, tight pennant race, and there's just been just this last week as we record this here on Saturday, what, the 3rd of August, there's just in the last week with the trade deadline, a ton of movement with the mission. So we'll get into that in a minute. I did want to ask you just about, you know, you've been with the club since 2010. You were in the Texas League, and things have changed drastically here in 2019. The missions, for people who don't know, and I was just kind of doing some research on this myself, but, you know, there's been a missions or a Texas League team or close to that in this city of San Antonio going back 100 years, and now all of a sudden you're in the Pacific Coast League. It's Triple A baseball. How's that gone? I mean, how's the change been? How have the fans reacted? What's this year been like for you?
Well, I think it's been a pretty good transition. You know, I think for the most part the fans are pretty excited because, you know, they get to see not only for us but, you know, other teams that come in to play us, you know, some very recognizable names. And, you know, you've got some guys who have some pretty extensive big league experience. So anyone that's followed Major League Baseball to any extent probably recognizes a lot of the names. So that, you know, I think that's kind of a cool thing for the fans. You know, obviously the quality of baseball is definitely better than Double A, because you frankly just have guys who have a lot more experience. They have a better idea of what they're doing. So it's a cleaner game. It's a little bit of a faster game. Definitely more high scoring because, of course, we're using the same ball they use in the big leagues. And I know there's been a lot written and talked about that throughout the industry. So, you know, 3 hours, 15 minutes, 3.5 hours is pretty much the norm for game time. So that's a little bit different. But all in all, I think it's been a great transition. I know we're excited. I think our fan base is pretty pumped up about it. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that Milwaukee was kind enough to give us a really good team this year as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so I got to ask, since you kind of mentioned it, and it's got to be the big buzz across all of AAA baseball, but where do you fall on the juice ball? I almost find it comical that Major League Baseball denies anything when it's kind of obvious, right, that there's something going on here.
Well, you know, I don't like it because, you know, I grew up when I started following baseball, you know, my early memories is going back to the 70s. So, you know, I'm a little bit older, but, you know, I remember like when George Foster hit 52 homers in 1977 and I was just, my goodness, 50 yeah. home runs. That's a ton. And now it's like, you know, you got middle infielder, everybody's hitting 20. Yeah. And to me, you know, the one stat I think for any sport that probably is the most relevant and easily the most romantic, and I don't care what sport you're talking about, is home runs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Babe Ruth put baseball back on the map after the Black Sox scandal. And so we've always held a special place for those guys who had the ability to hit home runs, and it meant something. And now I look at it and go, well, everybody's hitting home runs. So, and then you hear about, well, you know, it's a new career high, or this team just set a team high. It's like, well, we're not talking apples and apples here. It's right. a different baseball. Yeah. I don't like it as much because I think it takes something away from what the home run has always meant to the game. I also believe, and I've talked to others about this who have the same opinion, that, you know, baseball goes through, you know, they go through periods of time and there's changes and shifts in the game. And I think eventually we're going to get back in baseball to kind of how it used to be, where not everybody's hitting home runs and maybe a little more importance is placed on occasionally trying to steal a base or hit and run and, you know, stuff like that. Because, you know, the one thing the game's become now is pretty much a three true outcome sport. And there really is not a whole lot of strategy, even in a National League game, which is why I think, you know, go ahead, bring the DH to the National League, because what is it really going to matter right now, the way the game is? You know, it's just kind of Earl Weaver baseball where you sit around and wait for a three-run homer. So I think it will eventually change. I don't know when. Personally, I don't like all the home runs. And as I said earlier, I think it just takes something away from what, you know, the home run has meant to baseball for, you know, well over a century. I mean, since the game started, really since probably the live ball era in 1920, when, you know, home runs started becoming part of the game.
Yeah, no, it's true. There's There's a lot to that. We're talking with Mike Sager, who's the voice of the San Antonio Missions, the Brewers Triple A affiliate, I should say, here on Lockdown Brewers. So speaking of that, and your, you know, kind of first year here in the Pacific Coast League, I always hear from afar, and I will admit to you that I don't follow a lot of minor league baseball, Mike, but the Pacific Coast League is typically known as an offensive league. So do you see that, and why would that be that sort of reputation comes across in the PCL?
Well, I think a lot of it just has to do with the cities that teams are located in. You have a lot of clubs that play, you know, like Albuquerque, El Paso, Reno, a lot of teams that play in environments where it's hot, it's dry, it's windy. A lot of those, some of those towns are at higher elevations, so the ball's going to carry more. So I think when you add it all up, it's just more of an offensive league because of the environment. And then you add in, basically, you take the baseball away and give them a super ball to play with, which is what the baseball is now. And, we've seen, I think there was a note I read on Baseball America, I think it was a few days ago, they were talking through social media about how the overall AAA home run rate is like 150 some odd percent of what it was last year, which is just an astronomical jump. So, but I think mainly with the PCL, it's just where the cities are located and the geographic, the environments, the weather and everything plays a factor into it. And it's always been, a pretty hitter friendly league.
Yeah. So diving into the players for the Missions a little bit this year, I wanted to start with a couple of guys who, as we record this, are not with the team right now. Who have you been more impressed with so far this season in their time with the Missions, Keston Hira or Trent Grisham?
Oh, boy. that's a really good question. I think with Keston, what he did, I think a lot of people kind of, I don't want to say expected it, but maybe to some degree, and aren't surprised by it. He was very impressive, and obviously he's doing well in the big leagues. I think in Grisham's case, this is a guy who was a very high pick, I think like 15th overall, 4 years ago or whatever it was, who had never really done much in the minor leagues. And so I think this was going to be, kind of a make it or break it year for him as far as his future with the Brewers is concerned. And, he's always been a patient hitter, but in the past he's been too passive. And the real big change he made this year was, and he said it himself, that he was going to be determined to be more aggressive within the strike zone. If there's a good pitch in a certain count, don't let it pass. And making that change has done wonders for him. I think one stat I was looking at right before he got promoted, I was looking at the number of first and second pitches that he's put in play this year between Double A and Triple A, and I think as of last weekend, maybe it was like 108 or 109 put in play. Last year for the entire season, I think it was like 78 first or second pitches put in play. And we're just barely into August, so I think that. Yeah. And you look at his average; he was hitting 380 or something on first or second pitches. So I think when you look at that, you can see the changes he's made and how it's helped. So I guess maybe Grisham in a way, because I'm not sure anyone really expected it or even knew what to expect coming into this year. And he definitely opened some eyes, so much so that he's now, playing with Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's really been quite a rise, and obviously getting called up, always fun to see a hot prospect come up when you're watching the major league team, particularly when the Brewers have been so up and down this year themselves and trying to find a way to catch some lightning in a bottle and get on a hot streak here. Again, talking with Mike Sager, who's the play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Missions, the Brewers Triple A affiliate. So you see the way that this team kind of functions, and the Brewers have done this. They did it last year with Colorado Springs, of course, in the same position, and they really use that 40-man roster, and they call guys up and down. Again, as we sit here today, looks like Wilkerson's headed back up to the Brewers, and Jay Jackson's coming back down to San Antonio. How's that been for the team? I mean, obviously, you guys are still, leading the league and in a hot pennant race and playing a lot of winning baseball. Has it been tough, do you think, for the team to manage just from, your day-to-day perspective of trying to go out and win games, seeing so much turnover in the roster?
Well, I think it generally speaking, I think it can be tough when you have a lot of transactions made and players coming and going, but, you know, to the credit of the team and I think even the coaching staff, it really hasn't slowed the club down. You know, we lost I think the third week of June when they called up Keston and Saladino at the same time. I mean, that was a huge chunk of offense that the team lost. And they had about a – there was about a 10-day to 2-week stretch there where the club kind of scuffled to score runs. I think they went 5-9. And then, you know, right about that time when they went up is when Grisham came here. And all of a sudden, you know, guys started to come around. And then, you know, from the All-Star break until Grisham's promotion, the club was one of the top, you know, top three in the league in batting and scoring without Saladino or Keston. And, you know, Rick Sweet, our manager, has told me numerous times that it's actually good when players get promoted to the big leagues because it kind of puts a – It gives the players who are still here a little extra motivation, kind of fires them up when they see, hey, if you do well, you know, you're going to have a chance to play in the big leagues. And he says it's what's not good is when things are stagnant for a while and players aren't moving and you might have a guy or two who deserve to go up. And he says that's what you want to avoid. He goes, it's good when players move up. But he said there's naturally an adjustment period afterwards where, you know, guys got to figure things out. You may have to juggle the lineup a little bit, but, I've seen it work firsthand here. So obviously, you know, Rick's been around a long time. He knows what he's talking about and he's had a lot of AAA managerial experience. It can be tough because, you know, from broadcaster's perspective, you have a lot of movement in double A, but nothing close to this. Yeah. And so some days you're like, I couldn't even tell you who, all 25 guys on our roster right now, especially when you go through periods like recently with so much movement. It's like, I have no idea who's on the team and who's not, so that can be a little bit hectic, but, it's just the way it is in AAA. It's like that for every team. And like in Milwaukee's case, I think there's maybe a little more movement than you would see with other organizations. Cause like you said, they liberally use that, you know, 40-man roster.
Yeah, they do. And one of the guys on the 40-man roster right now and is on technically, I guess, a rehab assignment is Jimmy Nelson. You've had a chance to see him quite a bit this year. And, Mike, he still seems to be struggling, doesn't he, with some of his location issues? I mean, what's your take on the progress here of Jimmy Nelson trying to come back from that catastrophic shoulder injury?
Well, you know, he pitched last night, and that was one of the better outings I've seen him pitch. His stuff is always – I mean, his stuff is good. I think the issue was, and especially in his first few rehab assignments most recently, the command just wasn't there. Mm-hmm. The stuff is fine, but you got to be able to throw strikes. And last night was the first time where I saw, wow, you know, this that's impressive. You know, that looks like the old Jimmy Nelson. Now, you know, he probably needs a little more time, I would think, but last night was very encouraging. But, you know, when you have a major shoulder, you know, you look at the history of pitchers with shoulder injuries, and, you know, his was pretty major, and it's, you know, it's not like Tommy John where a higher percentage of guys bounce back from that and they could go on to pitch for years. I mean, they still, with all the science and medical advancements and everything, you know, the shoulder's a tricky joint because there's, you know, a lot of moving parts in there. Where an elbow, it's just a ligament. That's all you got. So, you know, you just never know with pitchers. Some of them come back. Some of them never come back. Some of them come back, but they're never the same. So I think time will tell with Jimmy. I think it's still too early in the process, but I think last night's game at least was very encouraging to see that, hey, that looks like the old guy right there, and hopefully he can string a few more of those together. I don't know what the plan is for him, if he's going to stay here or whatnot, because I don't know when his rehab window is closing. You get 30 days for that. But that was good news last night, I think.
Yeah, encouraging news. I'll get you out of here on this, Mike, and I wanted to just kind of get your take on it. With so many names that I look up and down the roster, you know, Saladino's back with the club now. You've got Corey Spangenberg, of course, I believe is not on the 40-man roster. Hernan Perez, who's not on the 40-man roster. But guys who are hitting the ball well, who do you see as we kind of get down the stretch drive here, not only of your season, but the Brewers season, maybe that fans aren't thinking of that might be able to still come up and help the Brewers here before all is said and done in 2019?
Well, you know, Spangenberg's had a terrific year. He's, you know, as you know, very, very versatile. I think he's started at every position this year except pitcher and catcher. And heaven help us if that ends up happening, because that wouldn't be good news. But he's been great. And, really, after he got DFA'd, I think he made some adjustments, and that's when he really started hitting in early May. He's going through a little mini slump right now, which is the first one since early May, really. I could see him going up, A, because of his versatility, and B, because right now Arcia is really the only shortstop they've got, and I think Travis Shaw is the backup, which, you know, I don't think would be ideal. So I could see potentially them calling him up to kind of fill that super utility role, but also be, you know, a backup in case something happens to Arcia. I know he's not on the 40 man, so they'd have to put him on, but, you know, that could happen very easily, because that 35 to 40 slot with most teams is very fluid anyway. So he would probably be the one guy that I would expect to probably go up if I had to guess right now in terms of position players. Obviously pitchers, they get shuttled in and out all the time, so, you know, you can pick from several there, but I would probably say Spangenberg right now.
Would you be, or I shouldn't say would you, are you surprised that Alex Wilson hasn't been called back up? His stats to me look really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a nice job for us. Very consistent. You know, I don't know. Obviously, I don't have a hotline to David Stearns, and we don't talk every day, so I don't know what the thinking is. Obviously, he's not the top guy on their priority list for whatever reason. But I mean, the guy comes in and he's been getting outs for us, and I guess in a way, just knowing how Milwaukee uses its pitching and how they shuttle guys in and out, I guess I am a little surprised that he hasn't gotten called up at least to, you know, make an appearance in a game where you're running out of pitching or something the night before. And I don't know if he will, you know, or not this year, but certainly I think based on his performance here, he would be deserving of it. I just don't know where he falls in the pecking order.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I'm just want to get your take on that because I'm a little surprised myself, given that he got sent down pretty early in the year, and it looks like he's done, like I said, 2.13 ERA, not too bad for the mission so far. So with that juice ball and everything, so
he's our bullpen's been our bullpen has among the 30 domestic AAA clubs. Well, actually, you can even throw the Mexican League in there. Our bullpen is first in ERA, WHIP, and opponent batting average at the AAA level. So, I mean, obviously, even with a lot of movement, and we've got some new faces now with, you know, we got the two of the pitchers in Milwaukee just got in the trades, Black and Faria. Right. We haven't seen them yet. They haven't pitched. So there's been some turnover there. But, you know, Devin Williams coming up from Biloxi, and he's looked sharp in his few outings here. So even with all the turnover, the bullpen has remained pretty consistent this year, and that's kind of been a strong suit of the ball club, I think.
Yeah, well, it's certainly shaping up to be a fun year. Mike, I appreciate your time, and have fun down the stretch here with the pennant race and the playoffs. Enjoy it, and maybe we can catch up in the offseason.
Yeah, anytime, Ben. My pleasure. Good talking to you.
My thanks again to Mike Sega, the play-by-play voice of the San Antonio Missions. Just some great stuff there. Can't wait to catch up with all these guys as well in the offseason. Of course, we're here with you every day of the year with Locked On Brewers, so we don't just go away when the Brewers go away, whenever that is this season. We'll talk about the Brewers all the way through October, November, December, January, and these guys will be a part of that, the series we've been doing this week with the minor league play-by-play voices of the Brewers. So that wraps up the tour around the Brewers minor league affiliates, and it was great to get perspectives from everyone. I certainly learned a lot. I hope you did as well. And tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with Dr. Scott, get back to some Brewers sabermetrics. Wednesday, we'll get back to a live show, if you will. You can't be live on a podcast, but what I mean is we'll be talking about the Brewers and the Twins and recapping the last week of Brewer baseball that I have not been here to be with you every day to talk about. So we'll start that up on Wednesday this week as I'm back from vacation. You can always find me on Twitter at Cheesehead Talks with an S, my personal Twitter handle, or at Locked On Brewers, the show Twitter handle. So follow us there and engage about what's going on with the Brewers and all in all, what's going on with baseball. Also, Facebook.com/Locked On Brewers. You can go rate and review the podcast as well. So please do that and engage with the show. We'd love to hear from you. And you can, again, rate and review the podcast. Give us some good ratings, 5-star ratings. We'd love them. Help spread the word about the show. And tell a friend about Locked On Brewers, your daily Brewers fix. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Brewers. I'm Ben Larson. Talk to you tomorrow when we deliver your daily Brewers fix right here on Locked On Brewers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.